Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action from Mark Bulger, firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger to Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in hour two of Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hera. If you missed anything from hour one, shame on you. But you can go back and listen to the podcast. It's available at 1080thefan.com following the show. You can really go back and listen to anything you want from the fan. All of that fantastic content. Yesterday, Dirt and Sprague interviewed Mario Cristobal. If you missed anything from Sinner and Saint last Saturday. Man, all the podcasts available.
The Hot Corner After Dark.
That's right. The Hot Corner After Dark from last night. If you missed that.
Happened.
Yeah. You listened to every second of it, too. Coming back from football practice, got you fired up. For
Big John Zucanic and Mike Lynch were in the Hot Corner After Dark.
Woo! Go get you some. We were just talking about the Facebook broadcast of Oregon State Hawaii this weekend. And I was saying that, you know, it's kind of the future of where sports are going. There's not going to be less Facebook games moving forward. If anything, there'll be more. I think it's better to have more options. And I was just saying, if you don't have Facebook, it's not that difficult. Here is a response from the Better You Today text line 55305. One of OSU's digital sports marketing guys set out a bunch of social media yesterday linking us to how-to instructions for watching the game on TV or phones. This 43-year-old set up my phone and TV in 2 minutes.
Fantastic.
Yesterday. 2 minutes.
It's easy to do.
2 minutes to set it up. All right. Now, if you're on DirecTV, tell me how you get the Pac-12 network. See if you can do that in 2 minutes. Yeah? Catch a Blazers game, DirecTV guy?
Yeah.
Let me know how that goes. See if you can do it in 2 minutes.
You got to take somebody's login to their,
I know that Facebook
is a sore spot for people. You got to borrow someone's Xfinity login.
Yep. But I know you don't like Facebook, and I'm sorry about that, but 2 minutes. 2 minutes for a guy that's never used it, never set it up, and it's on his phone and his TV. So it's the direction we're going.
I think we should go back to what Dabo said, where you just have three channels, and it's Hee-Haw, Lawrence Welk Show, and Happy Days, which I remember that.
Yeah.
I had three channels.
It's not going
to
be
when your dad
long.
Wanted to watch the Lawrence Welk Show, you were S-O-L.
It's not going to be long when the three major networks are Facebook, Google, and Amazon.
Seriously.
That's just the direction we're going. It won't be ABC, NBC, and CBS much longer.
For God's sakes, Netflix is worth more than Disney.
Yikes, really?
Netflix is worth over $130 billion. It's more than Disney, ABC, everything Star Wars, all they own combined.
Disney, ESPN, Star Wars, Marvel Universe.
All of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know that they're starting their streaming service.
Yeah, I know they are.
Yeah.
They said we're done with
Plus.
You. Yeah.
And it will include Hulu and ESPN for just $12.99 a month.
Yeah.
There you go. My wife's already on it. She's like, what are we getting with all of this?
I got this.
And I go, does that ESPN? Go ahead and sign up for it, sweetie. You go nuts. All right. Real quick.
Yeah.
These Air Force uniforms are awesome.
These are incredible. Brett McMurphy on Twitter just retweeted them, or I haven't retweeted, but maybe one of us will do it. I don't know.
You're looking at it right now.
I'm looking at it right now because I'm enamored by the paying tribute to the C-17s. It is gorgeous.
So they're basically
looks like jets.
Yeah. The only thing they're missing is the pin-up bomber girls, individualized per player on the side of their helmets. That's all they need.
They are gorgeous. Even the back plate, nameplate, is a white nameplate with black lettering outlined in black. They're phenomenal.
Yeah.
I can't think of another uniform that I've looked at when it comes to the military ones, they do some awesome. These are incredibly gorgeous.
Yeah. They look very cool, very sleek. If you haven't checked them out, just go onto Twitter and Cam will retweet it. Maybe.
I will. I promise I will.
There you go. All right. Time to get to some hot and cool.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
We start with baseball. I realize this segment is your daily dose of positivity, usually about home runs, which does not bother me. And we start in Kansas City. Jorge Solar becomes the first Royal with a 40 home run season.
Wait a minute, ever?
Yeah!
What? Really?
He hit his 39th to set a Royals team record on Tuesday night. 39 was the team record, and then last night...
Who had 39? Never Bo Jackson. I know that. Bo Jackson never had 39?
I do not have who he passed, because that was Tuesday, and then he hit 40 last night
with
a 450-foot shot. I mean, just raking. But isn't that... Yeah, I thought that was a staggering number. So, yeah, the Royals... new record holder is Jorge Solar.
Very cool.
Yeah. Also in home run records. Oh, I got to change the music, don't I? Boom. Dodgers have now set the National League record for home runs in a season. Jock Peterson had a pair of home runs in the 7-3 win over the Colorado Rockies Wednesday night for Los Angeles.
I think home runs are great. I think it's changed baseball. I'm excited about it. I'm tired of old men complaining that it's too bad. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. There's too many home runs. The ball's flying out too much.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's nobody that's approaching 70, but there is a home run record in danger. Pete Alonso has the major league lead with 45 home runs, and the rookie record
is
49, Mark McGwire.
Yeah, my fellow ginger.
Fellow giant ginger. Oversized.
Big man.
Industrial strength ginger. But yeah, so right now you've got a rookie leading the league in home runs, and you do have a home run record looking like it's ready to fall.
I love it.
We'll do one more, and that is, this one. This story is awesome. This is not necessarily a home run record, but does involve home runs. How about this? Michael Lorenzen. You know who he is?
Maybe.
Michael Lorenzen plays for the Cincinnati Reds, and last night he was the first player to earn a win. Hit a home run and play the field in the same game since Babe Ruth did it in 1921. So he came in, he pitched the eighth inning, and then hit a home run to take the lead. And then in the ninth, he went out and played center field.
That's
he didn't have a ball hit to him.
1921, Babe Ruth did that.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been.
He did not have the same type of day as Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth started the game, even though he had 7 walks. He started through the 5th inning, then went out to play center field and hit 2 home runs in the game. So slightly different, but yeah.
I'm going to go to my grave arguing Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player ever, and you will never convince me anything different.
He had...
You're never going to see it.
If you take him and you compare him to his contemporaries in any sport, he may be the best athlete of all time. I mean, just what he did compared to the rest of the league.
Oh.
There were years where he hit more home runs than most of the other teams in Major League Baseball, let alone a pitcher
and could do it all.
Yeah, that guy was something else. All right. Finally, we finish up. Well, we're doing this lightning quick. We'll throw some more stuff in here. Rafael Nadal eases past Diego Schwartzman and advances to the semifinals. That's the last of your big three in the U.S. Open. on the men's side.
Last of the big three.
Yeah. Federer.
That's true. That is
Djokovic.
True. I was thinking about it because two of them are out with injuries. If you're a U.S. Open fan, and we're talking about tennis.
Yeah.
You still got that's a big name there.
Yeah, when you have Serena Williams on the women's side, of course.
Names.
And as long as she's in there, then you've got, something to look at, which is always fantastic. But, she has, speaking of great athletes, Serena Williams. I mean,
she's
greatest
incredible.
Greatest tennis player of all time.
I can't believe it. She's been doing it now for, what, she's 15? Do we remember? I think she was 15 when she first played in her one of their majors. It's incredible.
Wow. She's definitely something else. This story I found fascinating. And your response to it I found interesting when we talked about this morning. Jim Irsay turned down $3.2 billion that was offered to buy the Colts from him. $3.2 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah, billionaire turning down a billionaire.
Yeah.
Jim Irsay's, he's always been, he's a unique owner. He's been linked to a few things. I'm just going to leave it at that. Those of you that follow the Indianapolis Colts, you know that Jim Irsay likes to party. $3.2 billion, and he turned it down. And I go, okay, well, the Cowboys are worth $5.1 billion, and he probably said, offer me another billion, and I'll sell it.
The Carolina Panthers, the last NFL team to sell.
What, 2.6?
2.3.
Oh, three. Okay.
$1 billion.
Indianapolis definitely worth a billion more than that. I probably would give you. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but I mean that's where the offer lives, and just turned it down flat. Said no thanks. The Bills sold at $1.9 billion. So I don't know. I mean, but what was your comment when I mentioned this morning? What else would Irsay do?
Yeah. What else is he going to do? Does he want to go buy an island somewhere and do his own deal? I mean, these owners don't have to do anything. When I mean anything, nothing. They have to show up every day and they just print money. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What else? I mean, why sell it?
Well, and it's only going to go up in value.
Yes.
The NFL isn't going anywhere. But the other thing, also a lot of these guys, that's their identity, right? Like, what else do we know Jim Irsay from? Do you have any idea how he made his money?
No. Zero.
Yeah. Jerry Jones has oil money, but what do you think of him in that?
He's Cowboys.
Yeah, it's Cowboys owner. Mark Cuban, tech guy, billionaire, but he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. So there's a certain identity, I think, that stamps with it, and I don't know what that is worth to Jim Irsay, but apparently it's more than $3.2 billion. What would you do if somebody offered you $3.2?
And I had a team, or if someone just said, here's $3.2, I'd give
it
all away.
What would you do?
I'd give it all away.
What would you do with $3.2? Would you just disappear?
I'd give 95% of it away.
Really?
Absolutely.
Stay on your good graces.
I don't want that kind. I don't want if all that money sitting around. It better be going to use.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at? Oh, that's right. We need to get to the first game, the first official game of the NFL season. New coaches in Green Bay. Your head coach Matt LaFleur. New defensive coordinator in Chicago.
LaFleur.
And they're kicking off. So normally this game is reserved for the Super Bowl champions to kick off the NFL season. But this is the 199th meeting between these two teams. And it kicks off the 100th edition of the NFL season. And they do that tonight. So we bring you a breakdown of Bears-Packers. That is next right here on Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Luke Anderson in for Dusty Hera alongside Cam Cleland, Ryan Buckley manning the controls. Buck has put together the Know Your Foe trivia segment. We'll do that in just about 12 minutes. Get you some info on Hawaii and Nevada. We'll see how well Cam and I can do in that.
Better know your foe.
Hey, if we don't know them now, we'll know them before the weekend.
Yes,
and that's
will.
The whole point of the segment. We'll get you in on some information. But there's more important things a brewing, and that is a football game being played tonight. It is the first game of the 100th season of the NFL, and it's a battle between a couple new head coaches, but also a couple pretty fantastic players. Defense of the Bears led by their new acquisition from last year, Khalil Mack. And Aaron Rodgers playing alongside a new head coach for the first time in his NFL career. Mm-hmm. So played with Mike McCarthy up until this year. Now Matt LaFleur taking things over.
Stick it in your ear, LaFleur.
That's right. I could not be more excited for this game. I think this is a great way to kick off the season, too. I don't know if you know this, but Aaron Rodgers is the highest rated passer in NFL history among quarterbacks with at least 1,500 passing attempts. And last year, he set the record for the most consecutive completions without an interception. Mm-hmm. And he's going up against the guy that has more pressures on quarterbacks than anybody over the last five seasons, 40-plus sacks, 49, 250 tackles. And he averages pressure on the quarterback 14.1% of the time. What?
That's pretty good.
That's damn good. That's your battle. It's always Chicago with the defense, right? You get a linebacker in Chicago that is dominant, that is mean, and you're going against Aaron Rodgers. What better way to start the NFL season?
I am super, super curious. I don't know how I can go any super, like super, about what we're going to not only see from Matt LaFleur and how he's going to call offense. And yeah, the whole preseason was about the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur and whether who's going to be in power and control. This is a great point that I've heard. And I've kind of dove into this a little bit, but this comes from Cowherd, but he was mentioning that even as we age, and this is so spot on and true about all of us, is that you get to a certain point in your life where you just are not going to change.
Okay.
Like you just are not going to change. I mean, you reach kind of that 40 number, or if you're an executive, if you're some sort of business leader and you get to your mid 50s, like 52 to 50, somewhere in that, that is it. You've got to that level. You've reached a high pinnacle. You're one of the best in your corporation. You've performed. Your earnings are high. You're right in your stride. You're not going to go to that guy and go, hey, what do we think we readjust to a completely different style? He's going to look at you sideways and go, nope, sorry. This is what got me here. I'm going to hold on to that. Same philosophy with Aaron Rodgers. And if you look at kind of how quarterbacks are and what they're able to do, is that Aaron Rodgers has been doing this type of throwing style off his back foot, being hyper creative, being able to call in different plays and seeing side adjustments based upon coverages at all times his entire career. He is 34 turning 35. You're not going to get Aaron Rodgers to be any different kind of quarterback. He's not going to suddenly become, all right, I'm going to be a RPO guy at all times. I'm going to be a guy that wants to run the option. I'm going to be a guy that wants to scramble more and I want to go more downfield. I know he's going to do what he does because that's who he is. So really, Matt LaFleur at age 39, he's going to have to be the coach that adjusts to Aaron Rodgers, not vice versa. If you have a young quarterback like a Jared Goff and you're dealing with Sean McVay, you can mold him into that because he hasn't reached that I'm the best ever mentality. And we know that Aaron Rodgers is not a guy that's going to be, he's a little aloof and he's also super stubborn. And if you get to that level and you've been that stubborn, why would you change? Well, you still want to get back to the Super Bowl, but Aaron Rodgers is not going to adjust.
Yeah.
So you have to find ways to be able to be creative for him. And it's more about that kind of connection with Matt LaFleur. And that's what I'm very interested in seeing is how the offense is going to look different. Yet Aaron Rodgers is still going to be the same.
Well, I'm sure it was the same way when you played. There's certain guys that have the talent that the game adjusts to versus guys that have to adjust to the game, right? So what I'm trying to say is you've got, you know, these guys, quarterbacks that are called system quarterbacks, right? Jared Goff is one of those guys. He just got paid the $110 million to play quarterback for the Rams, and people still look at him and go, oh, he's a system guy. Without Sean McVay, is he that guy? Drew Brees and Sean Payton are a perfect fit for one another. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are hand in glove, right? Mm-hmm. They fit together, and you can say that a lot of guys are system guys. There's a very few in the NFL that are a rise above that. Aaron Rodgers is one of them, right?
Yeah.
And you played with guys that are like that. You brought up Reggie White earlier. You don't tell Reggie White how to rush the edge. Yeah. You just stay out of his way.
Let him go.
You do what you do. We'll build the rest of the defense back here. So
yeah, Lawrence Taylor, here's what you need to adjust a little bit. Yeah,
is,
no.
Is there a guy that you played with that was like that? And what does that do to the rest of the team? It's, you know, at the quarterback position, I wonder how difficult it is for LaFleur.
Oh, I've never seen such young coaches come into the league and be head coaches and be in the control and the power seat when you're dealing with veterans. It is very difficult. I think it's difficult for any guy or any person in that situation in the football world. So let's stay focused here in the football world. I'm not talking in the business world, but this can relate a little bit. when you have a younger person that comes in and it's a first year of anything, what do they want to do? Immediately, they want to establish their culture and their style.
We'll put my stamp on it. Boom.
Yeah. And why wouldn't you? That makes sense. When you're in a leadership role, you want to come in with your style and you believe in it, what got you there. But now you're really coming into a guy with a style that has already been established.
Pretty well. Well, I just told you, highest passer rating in the history of the NFL.
So who, where's the push and pull here? You tell me if you're a Green Bay Packer fan or if you're just a basic NFL fan. If something goes sideways for the Packers organization, who's falling on it?
Head coach.
Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
They're not taking Aaron Rodgers and going, well, you know, Aaron, it's all your fault.
Yeah.
No, that's, and LaFleur knows that. So you're more tied to where your quarterback plays more than anything. But when you have a veteran guy, I think it's just, and Matt LaFleur didn't really, did he set the world on fire at Tennessee with Marcus Mariota?
No.
Did you notice the offensive change at all for Marcus? I mean, a little bit. There were some adjustments.
No.
But was that about the relationship with, because he was young, he was a little bit innovative, and I think more the NFL is a copycat league. So I was very surprised they made this hire. I hope it works out. But at 39, we're seeing more and more intelligent young minds in football.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier in our P1 social about the adjustments, or I'm sorry, earlier, and Dabo Sweeney talked about it, about being able to adjust. Even the NFL has to adjust.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get younger because these old guys that are sitting there, there's only one really old guy that's really, really good. Actually, you know, there's two.
Pete Carroll
and Bill Belichick. Well, and then Andy Reid is not, I know he's not that old. I know it looks like the Kool-Aid man out there.
That our minds went to the exact
I know, but I mean, these guys are, I mean, they're innovative, but they're not pigeonholed into this is how we do it.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Never have liked that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to make adjustments to it, but trying to make it work is interesting with a guy like Rodgers because, I mean, half the fun of watching Aaron Rodgers in my mind is, man, anytime you make a mental mistake on the field, whether the play has started or not, Aaron Rodgers catches you in it, right?
Yeah.
If you have your 12th man running off the field, that snap is coming.
Yeah,
if you have anybody that's out of position, the hard count, the little things that Aaron Rodgers does in between plays, when I watch a Packers game more than any other game, I'm watching in between play moments. When Aaron Rodgers is on the field, he's that good at it. And there's been this ongoing argument about how much autonomy he has when he goes up to the line of scrimmage. You have an offensive head coach coming in, and he wants to, like you said, put his stamp on the game plan. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers is a guy you have to give that freedom to if you want to get the most out of Aaron Rodgers.
And certainly, you know, the Packers, who I'm going to pick, but I'm not going to, I want to transition to the Bears really quick because I know we have a little bit, but I wanted to mention just about the Bears and watching, now that Vic Fangio is gone, you're taking a defense and you're bringing in Chuck Pagano that's going to have a pretty good defensive coordinator, but you're going to be giving away 34 takeaways last year. 34 takeaways on defense is why your team, the Bears, was in it. I know Mitchell Trubisky's a young, good player, but I would argue that you can't name any specialist talent that is on the Bears offense if you're an average football fan, mm-hmm. because you're not going to know it. Now, you know who the guy is on defense. You know it's Khalil Mack. You know you're going to have a guy that's going to run that kind of system, and he's going to be a pass rush threat at all times. With the 34 defense that you're going to see from Chuck Pagano, knowing that Vic Fangio left, I think that's a big loss.
Yeah.
I personally think that's a big loss. I've told this story before. In 2003, I was on a Rams team with Lovie Smith as our defensive coordinator that had over 50 takeaways in a season. We went 12-4.
Yeah.
Same guys came back the next season. Coach Lovie Smith took the Bears job. 14 takeaways.
Woo!
Same guys.
Yikes.
Okay, go 8-8, still make the playoffs. But what changed? Coaching.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I mean, Chuck Pagano's a very good defensive coordinator, but that's why I hold off on the Bears this year.
Yeah.
Double-digit win. Do you see them at 9, at 10? Minnesota's really good. I still have Green Bay winning this division for one reason only.
Yeah.
Rodgers.
Khalil Mack is a game-changing player. Do you remember what he did in his debut with the Bears?
Oh, dear Lord, yes.
Recorded a sack, interception, forced fumble, fumble recovery, and scored a defensive touchdown, a feat that has only been accomplished 5 times since 2000.
Babe Ruth. No, I'm sorry.
5 times since 2000. Khalil Mack has done it twice.
Yeah.
That's
special.
Not coaching.
He's terrifyingly
special. And in his debut, remember, he showed up
oh, yeah.
right ahead of that game.
Take that, Raiders.
You can't give Fangio all the credit for that. So you do
have... scheme. You got to put him in the right scheme also. If you, it's exactly why I said Jadeveon Clowney is gone from Houston.
Yeah.
From a 34 defense and a stand-up guy that's a 6'5", 270-pound man, dropping him into coverage, getting only 9 sacks a season, his smile is going ear to ear now because he's in the 43 scheme with Pete Carroll and that defense. He's going to love every second of it. Yeah. Watch. That dude's going to have a career year this year. Just watch.
Okay. I will. I will be watching. But Khalil Mack, I think one of those guys that you kind of, maybe not LT, maybe not Reggie White, but he's in that class where you just go, let's stay out of his way and let him play. All right. We need to get to know your foe. But before we do that, Ryan Buckley with this fantastic SportsCenter update. All right. Welcome back in to Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Your morning sports fix, NFL kickoff day. Cam, there's been a request on the Better You Did It text line. Are we going to hear the bells?
Oh, the bells are coming.
We're going to hear the bells.
Buck, you know when to bring the bells.
Oh, we're getting the bells.
Oh, the bells will be here. It's the first bells of the year, and it's better than Christmas.
Yeah, I would agree. Christmas, meh.
I'm going to use my favorite word. It's an elite sound.
And if you, the people, want to also hear the bells, make sure you're listening right around 8 o'clock.
Yeah, NFL Challenge.
Yeah, go sign up. 1080thefan.com.
Pro Football Challenge. Yeah, just go on there and you can win a Blu-ray and surround sound system from our friends at Encore Audio Video. Yeah, and they'll even help you build it into a custom home theater if you need to. So you got that going for you. But right now, it is time for the trivia contest that is Know Your Foe. That's right. The music.
What's that?
Oh, come on.
Oh, what? You don't like a little Murphy Lee? Okay.
No,
fine.
A little more than that.
Well,
oh, Stinger. Maybe a Stinger on top of it. It's good bed music, but you need something to punch in the face.
All right. Oh, we'll let you help with the production of it a little
sweet.
Bit later.
Yeah, we'll take care of that.
All right. So we were going to start with Oregon's opponent, Nevada. Their head coach is Jay Norvell. He played exactly one season in the NFL, but he played for one of the same head coaches that Cam played for. Who did Jay and Cam both play for in the NFL? Was it A, Mike Ditka, B, Bill Belichick, or C, Mike Martz?
Ooh. Jay Norvell. That's not ringing any bells as far as picturing him on an NFL field.
I'm not cheating at all. I'm not typing his name. This is a straight shot in the dark.
I can't picture how old he is either. I'm going to say Ditka.
I'm going to say Belichick.
Going Ditka.
Luke, that is correct. It is Ditka. Cam.
How old is he?
I'm sorry. He's a little bit older than you are. He had played one season in the NFL in 87.
For the
he played for the Ditka with the
he's
Bears.
A little older than me.
Yeah, more than a little.
Yeah, that was
that's a lot older than me. He played in the NFL in 1987.
An old guy.
It was a sarcastic little older.
Okay, all right. Yeah. A little bit.
Just a little bit.
All right, so Nevada, they play a couple rivalry games, one against Boise State and another against UNLV. Being that the UNLV game is their in-state rivalry game, we're going to do a little trivia on that. They play for the most expensive and the heaviest rivalry trophy in all of college football.
Really?
What is that trophy? Is it A, a cannon, B, a slot machine, or C, a silver-plated vault?
It's got to be a cannon, doesn't it?
No, it's not a cannon.
No,
somebody
you wouldn't want anything about
a cannon.
A cannon.
Somebody else plays for
silver
a cannon.
It's not a slot machine. That would be terrible. I already said cannon. I can't change my answer.
Okay, you're sticking with cannon. Yeah. I'm going to go. I wish it was a slot machine.
It's got to be. It's safe.
I don't think I've ever watched that rivalry game, even when I lived in Vegas.
Heavy.
I'm going to go with the safe.
It's not the safe, machine. But Cam, it is the cannon.
Oh, the cannon.
Somebody else play for a cannon?
They play for the Fremont cannon. It is narrow cannon that weighs 545 pounds.
Jeez. Wheel it out there and wheel it off.
So maybe somebody else fires a cannon.
That would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers every time they score a touchdown.
Isn't that a college football team?
Also, the Cal Bears from Tightwad Hill up in the outside the stadium.
Tightwad Hill.
That's pretty
Look
good.
At that.
Final one for your Nevada trivia. Before they were known as the Wolfpack, the teams in their athletic department went by a moniker paying tribute to either an animal or plant. attributed to their home state? Were they A, the bluebirds, the mountain bluebirds, which was the state bird? Were they the bighorns, the state mammal? Or were they the sagebrushers, the state flower?
Let's
go sagebrushers.
You're going to go the sagebrushers?
If you're the bighorn sheep, you're not changing your name.
Bighorn is a good name.
Yeah, you know
good,
what I mean? Yeah. Why would you change away from that to go to the wolf pack? It had to be something that was disappointing.
What was the first one? The bird?
The mountain bluebirds.
The bluebirds.
I think the bluebird's still a pretty good mascot. The sagebrushers is the worst, and if you're changing it, you have to have a bad one.
You got to do that. All right, I'll go with you, Luke. You've talked me into it.
Well done, boys. They were the sagebrushers. Until about 1922, when they became the wolf pack. Or actually, excuse me, they were the desert wolves before they were the wolf pack.
Ooh, desert wolves.
I like a desert wolf.
Yeah, no
Is that different than a non-desert wolf?
Yeah, is it a lone wolf?
I don't know.
Wolves are never alone, are they?
Well, I kind of think of coyotes as desert wolves.
Wolf pack, yeah, that's true.
The wolf pack of one.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the islands and the University of Hawaii, Oregon State will be visiting this weekend.
On Facebook.
Yes.
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
Facebook friend.
Facebook friend, what?
Yeah, right, Facebook friend them.
They I thought... You friend it. You got a friend to like it?
Got
to like it to watch it?
So the question here, getting us started, is before they were known as the Rainbow Warriors, they were just known as the Rainbows. Before that, they were the Deans, which is an interesting mascot.
But it is interesting.
The question here is how they became the Rainbows. Was it because A, the governor thought the name change would prompt more tourism? Was it because B, the first opposing coach from the mainland sold the trip to the AD saying, win or lose, you're guaranteed a rainbow? Or was it C, because multiple reporters noted a rainbow over the field when Hawaii beat Oregon State in 1923 and started calling the team?
Boy, that one, yeah, you're not selling me on that one. I feel like that one is not true. I think that was there's too much irony in that one. It can't be that one. I think it's the one where he guaranteed him seeing a rainbow.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. I feel like, you know what, though? I'm going to go with the tourism one. Hawaii's all about tourism.
True.
I think that holds up.
Both of you are incorrect.
Oh, really?
In 1923, when Hawaii beat Oregon State 7-0, multiple local reporters noted the rainbow over the field following victory and began calling the team the Rainbows.
All right. Dang it.
That's pretty good, Buck. That
and
was
it's Oregon
good
State.
And it's Oregon State. It feels too perfect. That's why you got me.
It
felt too perfect.
I'm with you.
Which celebrity graduated from the University of Hawaii? Was it Beau Bridges, Jeff Bridges, or Christopher Ludacris Bridges?
That is Beau Bridges. I'm just guessing. I have no reason.
Jeff Bridges? No, there's no way Jeff Bridges has graduated from Hawaii.
Yeah.
What was the third one?
Ludacris.
Chris Bridges.
It's got to be Beau then.
There you
guys are correct. It was Beau Bridges, not his brother Jeff or Luda.
There you go.
And finally, Luke asked me this morning if we would have any Colt Brennan trivia as a part of this.
Whoa.
I lived in Hawaii for 1 year, and it was the year that Hawaii went undefeated.
Sugar Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Like a drought.
Sugar Bowl.
So I was still one question short when Luke asked me about the Colt Brennan trivia. So we have some for you. For which team did Colt Brennan have the highest completion percentage in his post-Hawaii career? Was it for A, the Washington Redskins, B, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, or C, the Los Angeles Kiss?
Oh, B, the Kiss.
Oh, B, the Simmons Kiss. And the Kiss. I'm going to go with, I want to Canada.
Yeah?
Saskatchewan.
Rough Riders?
You're going to rough it.
Aren't all the teams called the Rough Riders up there?
Yeah, essentially.
Not, I believe the official mascot of Saskatchewan in the CFL is the Rough Riders.
Yeah, but I thought there was more than one Rough Rider. Maybe it's
there might be two. There might be two.
Yeah, either way.
It's a rough ride.
It's Canada.
It's Canada.
Give me so for
kiss.
Who did he have the highest completion percentage?
I said the Rough Riders.
Kiss.
You're both incorrect. He actually never took a snap for either the Rough Riders or the Kiss. He signed with both teams, but he was released before he ever got to play.
Oh,
the only team he ever in his history of post-Hawaii football played for was the Redskins.
Look at that.
Really? How many?
All
how
preseason
many...
yards? Had to have been preseason yards, wasn't it? Certainly.
Yep, correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember him ever making it to a regular season roster. Game because that would have been big news.
It would have been.
So there you go. How'd we do? Who won?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I don't keep score.
It's only just the win. The fans win.
I don't keep score.
We never keep score. There are no win. Losers here.
What
one's
are you
a winner.
Talking about? This, first the music. You need to kick it off with some fire. I was all pumped up for this. I just wanted to beat Cam.
Yeah, so he spent some time with the Redskins. Then he went to the Raiders for 2 months before being waived. Then went to the Hartford Colonials before that league suspended operations, and he was not picked up by the remaining UFL teams. Went to the Rough Riders. They spurned him for JT O'Sullivan. And then he signed with the Los Angeles Kiss of the Arena League, but was not medically cleared to play.
And what is he doing now? Working at Quiznos, B, working at Subway, or C, Jersey Mike's? No?
Doesn't say.
All righty, there's your Know Your Foe. And that brings us to a time where we're going off the rails. Cam has a surprise cut from O.J. Simpson. I have no idea what it is.
Great football content. I'm serious.
Okay.
But it's OJ, so hold on.
All right. Well, hold on. Hold on to the guardrails. We are about to go off the rails. We do that next. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore
growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, off the rails. Dusty and Cam in the morning. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty. He's just taking a day off for family. He's taking his daughter to her first day of school. What time does school start?
Probably 8:30.
Getting ready right now. Yeah. First day of school. Let's go.
Buck, this question came in on the Better You Today text line, and I'm quite a curious myself. 1923 in Hawaii, what aircraft was exactly that made the Pacific hop? Does not compute. Signed a pilot listener.
I have no idea.
Did they take a boat over?
It did not say on my little history sheet.
All right, guys, get up on the poop deck. We're doing a walkthrough.
How long is that boat ride?
Maybe it was the first game of the season and they took a boat. I honestly don't know.
1923 in an airplane.
I will look into that.
What are they flying?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Big slingshot? No idea.
I feel like that's more of a boat trip than an airplane
trip.
They
took a Zeppelin?
I don't know.
I'm not
a pilot.
I haven't the foggiest.
Anyway, that was an excellent question.
Good curiosity. We're off the rails already on Off the Rails.
We got a cut for you from somebody.
Yeah, you do. I do not know. I've not listened to this. I don't know what to expect.
No pun intended on this, by the way.
That I know is that Cam has assured me that this is someone making a good point. Mm-hmm. But the worry and my curiosity stems from this being O.J. Simpson making a good
the
point
juice.
About football. The juice. So I sit back and I listen to O.J. Simpson.
I was a little upset this morning listening to so many of the commentators. I got to give a shout out to Damian Woody because he's the only guy that seemed to have it right. You know, yes, Ezekiel's contract is the biggest of all time, but I still think the position is grossly underpaid. Wide receivers are getting $3 and $4 million more than what he just signed for. And he realized that he caught 77 passes last year. McCaffrey had over 100 receptions last year. Barkley led the Giants in receptions with 91. And Odell Beckham is making more money than him. Not only are these guys catching passes, they're running for 1,000 yards. They're setting the tone for their team, for the offense. And yet, they are the lowest paid position players in football. And when you consider that running backs hit the ground running, most running backs come out of college, they're going to have their best years, maybe their third, fourth, fifth year. And many of the number one draft choices are still stuck with that rookie four-year contract that's mandatory, even though I understand that because of people like Jamarcus Russell got all that money and and didn't really perform. That took money out of the other players' pockets. But to me, the running back, especially those running backs who catch 80, Kamara, 81 passes, Saquon, 91 passes, McCaffrey, 100 and something passes. Catching those passes and still running for 1,000 yards, come on, guys. These guys should be the second highest paid players on the football field. I'm just saying. Take care.
What are you doing, OJ? Is he trying to get a job? Is he auditioning for SportsCenter? Is he waiting for Skip Bayless to be like, hey, come on.
Tell me.
You can argue against me.
Tell me this right now. Where's OJ wrong in that stunt? In that other than being OJ.
I mean, that's where he's wrong.
But let's take a second, though. This audio I thought was interesting because it could spark a lot of conversation. He's saying, OJ's saying, of course, he's a former running back, the Juice. From a football knowledge, not going to question OJ's knowledge. He knows football, okay? We're taking it a different sure. path here. This sparks the off-the-rails conversation of should running backs be the second highest paid guy on your football team? If you are Christian McCaffrey, okay, and you're on a rookie contract, and you're in your fourth season, third, fourth season, you catch 100 passes like Marshall Faulk did back in the day and run for over 1,000 yards. You stand out and look on the outside. You see a guy that's a Z or an X, and he's standing up out there. He catches 5-6 balls a game. He makes $20 million per season.
Yeah.
Doesn't rush for 1,000 yards, doesn't catch 100 balls, but he makes $10 million, $15 million more than you. Are you going to go, coach, hey, coach, I'm going to stand up outside from now on and you're going to pay me wide receiver money?
Yeah.
Do you not? I mean, is there a little bit of logic here?
No, there is definitely a little logic, but, you know, on the Better You Today text line, murder two people if you're with me. I mean, that's the thing is OJ is trying to make himself a legitimate commentator on the NFL. We could have had this conversation without the audio clip from OJ. It's right there on the Better You Today text line. There's some sound logic in it. There's no question. But I just don't understand what he's trying to accomplish, OJ Simpson, with his Twitter feed. He's going out there going, guys.
I think it's glorious, by the way. His Twitter feed is glorious. I can separate to what the guy is.
Yeah.
But his Twitter feed is glorious. It's content. It's interesting. His comments. I'm sorry. Whatever you do with you, I can separate it mentally.
You're fine.
Some can't. I can.
I will take the bait and I will have the football part of the conversation with you. And here's my curiosity is, are we moving to a place where you can have more like the NBA, where you have somewhat of positionless players? If you have a guy that's offensively talented enough to run the ball and catch the ball, Christian McCaffrey is a perfect example of this, where you see them go and line up at wide receiver position often enough that you can look at him and just go, let's just pay this guy for being a great offensive football player.
Well, that's why Jimmy Graham left New Orleans Saints. Remember when he was franchise tagged? He was franchise tagged as a tight end. But yet he played 70% of his snaps in a stand-up position, which was a receiver franchise tag, which was $5 million different.
And who just went to the Seattle Seahawks for the same reason. The Texans tried to franchise tag Clowney as a linebacker. 33 out of more than 700 snaps played at the linebacker position, and then more than 700 of those snaps were played as a down defensive lineman.
That's a scam. That is an NFL option. That is a team scam. That is why the players will not agree to this franchise tag in their next collective bargaining agreement, because it's crap. If you're a great player and you're a tight end and you're a back, pay the guys like they're the best. Saquon Barkley is the best player on the Giants team. He should be paid the most. Hands down, no question. This crap about, well, running backs don't last very long. They give you 4 years, pay them the most.
Yeah.
Don't lie to me and tell me Eli Manning is worth $24 million. He's not worth $24 million. He is not. Saquon Barkley catches 91 passes and rushes for 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
He's worth $30
million. Sure. I can see that. The quarterback position is different. I have a hard time.
No, we're talking right now specifically on the Giants.
Sure.
Compared to Eli Manning, who's worth more? Eli Manning or Saquon Barkley?
And 91 pass catches means that somebody has to throw you the ball 91 times.
Yeah, how many screen balls and checkdowns did he catch out of those?
I'm not saying he's not a valuable asset. I just have a hard time. I have a hard time factoring in against the quarterback being the highest paid player.
No, I didn't say that. I said in that situation with Eli. That's a little bit lunacy. Yeah. I get it. But when he's talking about second and third players, these guys are unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable, the numbers that they put up. Yet they don't get any respect. And that's kind of this running back mantra of Bill Belichick, running back by committee. Committee.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
But there's also a tremendous amount of value if you're a running back and you're developing, for the next level, be sure you can catch the ball.
But if you're Christian McCaffrey moving forward, and I would recommend this in anything, why doesn't Christian McCaffrey become Julian Edelman? He is the same size. He's just as fast. He is bigger and stronger. Julian Edelman will make more money and continue his career. If Christian McCaffrey and some of these players like this, Alvin Kamara, want to play in the slot and they want to get hit 8 times per game.
Yeah.
If they want to be a running back, Christian McCaffrey's going to get hit 20 to 25 times per game.
Yeah.
You tell me what lasts longer in your career, what makes more money. This is not rocket science here. If these guys will understand this and say, coach, hey, I'm going to take the bull by the horns and worry about my career, more financial return. I'm better than Julian Edelman. I'm better than those guys. I catch 100 passes. I don't need to do it out of the backfield. You go find some sloppy runner that you can just hand the ball off to and go be a battering ram. I'm going to continue my career and make more money. I have no question that these guys are going to start looking at this.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, but there's also the teams that are going to pay. Now, Ezekiel Elliott is the highest paid back in the NFL. So he did get what he wanted, just took a holdout to do it. That's why the collective bargaining agreement in 2021 is so interesting and so important. We need to get to the NFL challenge. We do that next, and you will hear the bells right here on Dusty and Cam in the Morning. This is 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.